I don't know if this new microphone is going to make me sound better or not. At least it's closer. We're going to be studying again from the book of Colossians. We have six lessons that we are going to draw from this letter. Six lessons in which Paul emphasizes thanksgiving. And I think there is a reason for that in this letter. Paul's in prison. And it's amazing that he can have such a positive attitude as we look at Colossians. This morning we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. I encourage you to have a Bible open and see with your own eyes some of the things that we'd like to point out to you. It's an interesting passage, and I believe as I worked on it that it's exactly right for Mother's Day. There is in this text something that all mothers want for their children. There's in this text something that all fathers want for their children, for themselves, for their homes, their families. In this text, there is something that is so relevant to the Christian's life, to the way we look at things, that I hope that this lesson will be helpful to you and helpful to me. As we read this passage, we're going to be faced with a real challenge. And the challenge comes from another passage that we'll be looking at in a moment, because there it is a peace that is beyond comprehension. Now you understand what that word means, comprehension. That means we understand. But if it's beyond comprehension, then we're going to be dealing with something this morning that is really beyond our minds to totally grasp. And when we get finished with the lesson and we go our separate ways, we will still have questions about our subject this morning. And so bear with me as we look at three different passages. Each one we'll like to draw some things from that will help us to understand. Will you look with me at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And as with the other passages that we've looked at, it's always interesting that Paul will add that last phrase. He could have stopped just before that, in one body. Why does he put in that phrase, and be thankful? The word be suggests something we need to do, to be thankful. And so as we look at this passage, we realize that we're not going to understand everything about this subject. But what we can understand, I believe, is going to be a blessing to our lives and to those around about us. And so would you look with me, first of all, as we take apart Colossians 3 and verse 15. And the first thing we will notice, the very first word, let. That indicates that there's something that you and I must do about this. Let the peace of Christ richly dwell within you, or rule your heart. It's like someone knocks on your door, and you go to the door, and you look through the little peephole, and you decide whether you're going to open the door or leave it closed. You ever thought about your relationship with God that way? He knocks at the door, and you decide whether you're going to open the door or not. This passage begins, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And immediately we run into something that is going to be very profitable. The word translated rule in the New American Standard Version can also be translated judge. In other words, let the peace of Christ judge in your heart. So what does that judge do? A judge tells you whether this is right or wrong, whether you're within the bounds or you're not in the bounds. The rule in my heart. I find it interesting that if we looked back to Romans chapter 2 and verse, I believe, 15, Paul will talk about your conscience. What does your conscience do? Your conscience will tell you, this is something I ought to do. This is something I better leave alone. Sometimes we listen to the conscience, sometimes we don't. Here in Colossians, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. In other words, Paul is saying to the Colossian Christians, let the peace of Christ, don't do anything that's going to destroy it. Do things that are going to help it along. Let the peace of Christ be your judge. Should I do this? Should I not do this? And you'll be on the right track. Conscience invariably leads us down the right track. Conscience tells us this is good for you. This is not good for you. And so in Colossians, these new Christians, because this is a new congregation, Paul has not been able to visit them. Someone else began this congregation. With Paul had called the fruit of the gospel in our first study in Colossians 1. And so we look at the idea that we're going to open the door. Let the peace of Christ rule in. When he gets in, he's going to help us decide things that bring peace to our life. Have you ever known an individual that seems to want to always be in a state of turmoil? I've known people like that. I've even known a few in the church who seem to get something from turmoil, from being at odds with other people, conflict. But the Christian, knowing the Prince of Peace as he ought to, as she ought to, doesn't want that. And so the idea of the peace of Christ dwelling in my heart, making judgments to help me go the right direction, to live a peaceable life, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And then Paul goes on in verse 15, in which indeed you were called in one body. And I thought back when I was working on this. When we first began, Paul said he thanked God for the Colossian Christians, the faithful brethren in Christ. And one of the things that he found so endearing was their faith in Christ Jesus, their love for all the saints, and the hope that they had laid up in their hearts. Well, those are good things. And so here we have in the one body, and in that body, we ought to find faith in Christ. We ought to have a reason for love of the saints. We're living in a world that is topsy-turvy with aggravation, anger, frustration, battles waged between nations. For what? All we're doing is destroying. And we have come to this place as the body of Christ to try and understand the peace that passes comprehension. Our work is cut out for us. We go out the door, and there are so many various ways that want to destroy our peace. But within the body, there's always peace. You know, it's amazing. I preached for some 40 years. Been in the church all my life, I think. And all I have found is good. Blessings among individuals. I can remember the first place I went in preaching, Dos Palos, California. And we had hardly gotten out of the truck. And the brethren had met to have supper ready for us. And he grabbed hold of our four kids. They were not strangers. We were apart. And that's been an ongoing thing. And I hope that you, as a part of the body of Christ, have seen the very same thing. We hear so much about people who are lonely. You shouldn't be lonely in the body of Christ. But we're not done here. Come back with me. Come back with me to the book of John. This is in the last few days of Jesus' life. He's talking to his disciples. And what he says is very relevant to what Paul will write to the Colossian Christians. And so look with me at the last two verses of chapter 16 of John. Behold, he's addressing his disciples. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Take courage. I've overcome the world. When you look at verse 32, there's no peace there. If you look on in the book of John from this point forward, it's going to be nothing but trial. They will go to the Garden of Gethsemane, only to be found by soldiers, those sent by the priests, to take Jesus. And they began from that point on, through the night, to do all they can to break his spirit. His disciples will flee, just as Jesus tells them there's going to be tribulation. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be with Jesus for 3 years of his ministry and then stand there at Golgotha and watch him crucified? The turmoil within. And Jesus tells them, I've got a peace that I want to share with you. And Paul writes from a Roman prison and tells the Colossians, I have a peace I want to share with you. All you need to do is be thankful for it. You realize that peace requires recognition. Look in your own heart and mind. You're the best judge of whether your heart and mind are at peace. If it's not in there, you'll know it. Jesus promised his disciples. I'm not sure where along the line. You go through the book of Acts, they are threatened, they're intimidated, they're thrown in prison, etc. Where's the peace? Well, the passage that we're going to come to will help us to understand that. There's one more thing here in John. Look at the last part of verse 33, and you'll see these words. You have tribulation, but take courage. You see that? You have tribulation. That's not good. But you have courage. And what does courage do? Courage opens the door for the peace of Christ that is beyond comprehension. Now look with me at one more passage. Look over at the book of Philippians, not very far from Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, another letter written in prison. And this is where we're going to find the title for our study, Peace Beyond Comprehension. Start with me at verse 5 of chapter 4. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is at hand or near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amazing verse. Amazing passage. When you consider it's written from a Roman prison, and Paul doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And when you come into 2 Timothy, he has to admit to Timothy, who's receiving the letter, I'm already being pilfered. Time and my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. Henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But here, Paul is writing to the Philippian Christians as he writes to the Colossians, and he wants them to know about something that is beyond comprehension, the peace that only God can put in the human heart. There's some things we can learn here. If you look at verse 5, you'll see our part is a gentle spirit. You see that? A gentle spirit. We're going to have more of that when we go back to Colossians 3. But keep that in mind, the gentle spirit. And then I notice as you come on down, you meet anxiety with two things, prayer and thanksgiving. You know, anxiety is an interesting thing. I think we've all experienced it one way or the other. Sometimes you just don't know why you're anxious, but you are. It's there. You feel it. But you know, Paul may be onto something. If we pray for the peace that passeth comprehension, what often happens to anxiety? Perhaps it's our communication with God that deals a blow to anxiety. I've noted a lot of individuals over the years in their deathbeds, and I've always found it rather interesting with my own mother. There seemed to be a peace toward the end. And I've often wondered about that, with the turmoil of the pain and physical suffering, and yet a peace seems to come into the mind and the heart, a kind of easing down, if you please. Paul talks about God's part in all this. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, when you look at that verse, whose business is that? Whose business is that? That's God's business. You may say, well, I don't feel it. Supposing God knows you need to feel it. That's God's business. You know, one of the interesting things that I've learned over the years, and especially when dealing with the end of life, is to say that God does not make mistakes in his judgment. God does not make mistakes in his judgment. If he knows that you need the peace that passeth comprehension, you think he doesn't know or doesn't want to reach out? And we go back to Colossians 3 and verse 15, and that little word, let, open the door, give him a chance. You know, there's something else here, and that is the word thankfulness. It's repeated in verse 6, and also coming down, it's to be understood in verse 7. And so we're thankful that we're not on our own. If you go back to Colossians, there is the body of Christ, a source of peace. If you look here, there's the God of heaven who has brought peace in the past, to so many individuals. Let me give you an illustration. If you read through the book of Psalms, you will find some of the Psalms, David is so twisted up in a knot that you sympathize for him. And you will turn around, and the next psalm, he is so at ease and so at peace. I think of the first psalm. Read the first psalm on occasion. When he said, blessed are those that are this way and this way and this way. And if he walks through the shadow of death, he fears no evil. But now come back with me to Colossians. And there's one more thing I'd like to do with the lesson. And that is, if you look at verse 15, it's a conclusion. And therefore, I want to know what's before it. What rests on Colossians 3:15? And so let's look back for a minute. Come back to chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now from verse 1 through verse 14, all of that draws you down to verse 15. And the peace of Christ that is indeed in one body, and you're going to be thankful. So now come back to chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, now watch, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, I like these words. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You know what stubbornness is? If you raise kids, you know what stubbornness is. That's that look that says you can do whatever you want to me, but I'm not going to give in. Stubbornness. Set your mind. Paul writes to the Colossians, let the peace of Christ wear in your mind. Beyond comprehension, God will give something to your mind and heart. Now, your part in all of this, set your mind. You know, there's a good stubbornness that all Christians must have. A good stubbornness. I am not going to change my belief for anybody. I know black and white will always bear me out. Stubbornness. Set your mind on things above. Seek the things above. But then come over to, you know, I always forget to turn the page. I do have some more notes. Come over to Colossians 3 and verse 10. Put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That new self. Never be satisfied with the old self. There's always room for a new self. A new way of looking at things. A new realization that, you know, by the way, one of our young men, before worship began, we had a conversation. And in that conversation, the comment was made, you know, money does not always bring happiness. That's a good point, an excellent point. It doesn't. But what does peace of mind bring? What does peace of mind bring? What is the new self? The old self, you know, someone mentioned in the prayer this morning about drug addiction. Individual wants to get away from that. It's a hard, hard struggle. And here, Paul tells the Colossians, you're going to have to have a new self. And now we're going to come to the most challenging part of that new self. Read with me from verse 12 through 14. Now remember, in verse 15, there is the peace of Christ, and there is your thankfulness, but it is not easy. Read with me verse 12 through 14. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. And then he puts in this little barb, this little prod, if you please. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace, after all of those from verse 12 to 14, now what do you do? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That's quite a list. Paul's great at lists, and that's quite a list. But the end result of that is peace of Christ in your heart. Now, with that all said, do you understand why he would then emphasize and be thankful? And be thankful? If I was a multimillionaire, I might give you a little bit. Or on the other hand, if I'm not a multimillionaire, I might share with you a passage of Scripture that helps you understand something that passes comprehension. Peace in here and here. What's it worth? To the Colossian Christians, they were in a minority. And yet Paul writes to them, and seven times in the letter, he will tell them to be thankful, to be thankful, be full of thanksgiving. He begins the letter by saying, I thank God for my every memory about you. Your faith in Christ Jesus, your love for all the saints, the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and on. He can't get away with it from this statement about the things that make for thanksgiving. We should be the most thankful people in all of society. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have health issues. Yes, we may not have all the money that we want or need. But what if we have peace in mind and heart? And what if we recognize that's God's part and he doesn't make any mistakes in what we need? As we look at this whole letter, and we just have two more lessons after this, and both will be about this thanksgiving, this thankfulness that the Christian must have to open the door and let the peace of Christ come in. You're here this morning, and you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian because you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. The Colossians had. In a beautiful passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, he talks about having been baptized with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. Philippians tells us that God's the one who brings peace to mind and heart. Here we're told the baptism is a place where God works. When I have had the opportunity to baptize individuals, I almost invariably go to this passage. And I ask the individual, how fast can God work? And they always say, very fast. You'll be under the water for just a moment. That's where God works, through your faith in the working of God. There may be some reason why you need to talk with one of our elders, or even one of our deacons, or one of our members, about some struggle that you're having. We don't have solutions. We don't have answers. But we know how to open the door. And we're more than happy to open the door of prayer with you. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. I noticed the title has much to do with this lesson. So would you stand with me as I go over here and sit down? And if you want to talk with me, I'll be right there. Now, you know why I'm sitting down, because you don't want me to fall down. Shall we stand?